Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast. This is your West Virginia football preview. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by Michael.
Hello, everybody. I am back from the Hill Country. I am refreshed, have a new look on life. And, you know, I kind of joked about turning the corner in Ames, but this might be it. This might be corner turning time. We've got a... You know, the District of Columbia's headed this way. I mean,
nice.
Hope is on the horizon a little bit. I have to, you know, and I hate that I can't remember who I saw originate that. It could have been Tristan with the Talking Tech podcast, but somebody on Twitter called it the District of Columbia, and I completely latched on. So shout out to whoever came up with that. It was not me.
Latched on like a baby.
That's right.
That's what I thought of when he said that word. Because, you know, that's a word that gets thrown around in the 23 Personnel South headquarters recently. Hey, yeah, little man.
With Baby Watch week number four, I mean, are you 4 weeks into to being a father of two?
He hit a month number one on the 19th, which was Monday.
Ooh. Oh, man.
It's been a month.
So he's 31 days old.
31.
Are you going days?
No longer track these things. He's 4 weeks. He'll be 6 weeks next.
There you
no,
go.
No, I'm not going to count.
That works.
You do that with the first one. You realize how stupid. Like, my son is 37 weeks old. Or I know you track weeks in pregnancy, and then I would track months at this point, or be like, he'll be one in September. Okay, that's all.
Well, my daughter's, she's 46. She's 46 months old right now.
Getting ready for that birthday party.
Yeah, it's coming up.
2 months. Yeah, I can do math. All right. This is episode 167. I wish I had something significant about that number, but there's been a lot of these episodes of the 23 Personnel Podcast. I appreciate everybody sticking around and listening and downloading. I don't think it's the same 100, you know, same group of people from the first few episodes as now, but we wouldn't keep doing it if you guys weren't listening and downloading, because I mean, I don't have to record this. I can just talk to Michael all by myself.
But, yeah, which we usually do talk like 30 minutes before and after each podcast.
Well, we have the text, the Slack chat going on all week.
Constant contact.
Yeah. For those that want to stay in more constant contact with us, the 23 Personnel Podcast, besides listening to the episodes, you can follow us on Twitter at 23 Personnel. You can follow me, Spencer, at Punts Suck. I'm good for a few food takes, shots at referees, and Mike Leach. And I guess Cliff Kingsbury lovers now. Cowboys game last night brought up a lot of Cliff fans into the Texas Tech fan groups on Facebook last night. I was like, you've got to be kidding me, right?
Well,
you don't remember the 6 years of suck.
To see them. Yeah, it was good to see them show up 4 years later.
Yeah,
that was good of them.
You can also follow Michael. He's probably the better follow on Twitter at Michael_LBK. You can follow us on Instagram at 23 Personnel Podcast. Also, as we are getting into the winter months, solidly into football season, moving towards basketball season, can pick up a 23 Personnel Podcast t-shirt and or hoodie. You can catch us on Rob Rose College Tailgate Show, Saturdays 10 a.m. to noon. here in Lubbock, 1340 AM on the KKAM, or sorry, on KKAM.com, Talk 1340 mobile app, or ESPN 960 down in San Angelo. Michael, before we jump into football, it looks like you made a guest appearance on another podcast. Are you cheating?
Well, it's the same. No, it's the same one. I would just, the last time that we talked about it, I went on to Bosco's Boys, a fellow armchair podcast.
Shout out to Scott.
With Scott. Yep. Shout out to Scott. We were talking Big 12 and just kind of the state of the conference and how I kind of represented Tech fans, and hopefully I represented as well. And the episode came out Friday. So, you know, Scott talked to me, and he talked to a lot of other guys with several, if not all, of the schools in the Big 12. So check that out if you want to. That's Bosco's Boys, and that came out on Friday the 16th.
It's good. It's good stuff. You check it out. Bosco's Boys, also good listen if you're into fun other Big 12 schools. They've been with Armchair a little bit longer than we have. They helped us get up off the ground. I think they were the first guys we reached out to, and Armchair said, hey, do you want to join? Like, we went to Bosco's and was like, hey, what's your experience like? So they've been with us since the beginning of Armchair, which has been a year now. We've been with Armchair for a year.
And, you know, I think it's 2 years. Is it 2 years? Anyway, no, it's not. It's just one.
It's just one.
I don't think that I mentioned that Bosco's Boys is a Kansas State podcast. I don't know if I ever mentioned that whole time. Anyway, they're great. They're a great follow for Kansas State. And give them a follow on the feed. They come out. I mean, they do 2 or 3 episodes a week at least. They're putting them out.
Hey, we're good for 2 episodes a week if Texas Tech plays.
You know,
at least during football season, and we probably could do 2 episodes, if not 3, during basketball season if we were super committed and our wives didn't occupy our time.
Yeah, if I had a dedicated podcast space, then maybe I could do it.
So I've been telling Samantha, not that we're looking to move in Lubbock right now, but it's like our next house, I want to have like an office space. Like an actual office that would not be split time with a guest bedroom, then I would turn that into a recording studio. Anyways.
Yeah. I'm totally sitting in my living room right now.
Hey, I am too.
The only room with no one in it.
When Hayden was born, my mom came out, we moved the computer out of that room. So the desk isn't in the living room. It's not a bad setup, but just, I don't have my recording studio that I want. Anyways, before we've got way too much football stuff, and not that you can have too much football, but we have a lot of football to get to this week. The wait is finally over, guys. Football's in full effect. You know that. Many teams starting their stuff. The World Series kicked off. First pitch was tonight, Tuesday. My Dodgers, lifelong Dodgers fan here. My Dodgers are putting on the Rays right now, 8-1. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Michael.
Yes.
Man, let's do some football talk.
Bring on QB2.
They go four up top. They throw the fade to Fasher. Caught. Touchdown.
With time. Delivered.
Hand off. DeMarcus Fields. Down the sideline. Touchdown. Red Raiders. 97 yards.
Harrell back to throw. Going deep down the sideline for Robert Johnson.
And oh, my.
He's got it. Touchdown, Red Raiders. Robert Johnson. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
Take a shot to the end zone. Davis.
All day to throw. Over the top, Jakeem Grant. Touchdown, Texas Tech.
Second down now. Deep strike. Got the big man. Country. Pulls free. And touchdown, Red Raiders. With a second to go.
Let the scoring begin.
All right, Michael. Roster updates. It's been a week now since our boy Henry Columbia, the District of Columbia, named starter against West Virginia. I think
that's right. Is that a coincidence?
I think there was quite a bit of flex to the power of the 23 Personal Podcast, because we both went on a little bit of a rant or some impassioned calls for Columbia to be the starter. At least we were saying Matt Wells would be stupid not to. And then, you know, the next day he comes out and says, hey, we're going to roll with Henry Columbia versus West Virginia.
You're welcome, guys.
Yeah. So a couple things. One, our good friends over at PFF, they came out and did highest accurate pass percentage. Say that three times fast. Mac Jones, Alabama, came out number one. Trevor Lawrence, two. Shane Illingworth, Oklahoma State, was three. And our boy, Henry Columbia, checked in at number four. Ahead of Sam Howell. This is percentage of accurate passes. Mac Jones, 82%. Trevor Lawrence, 80. Shane Illingworth, 74. Henry Columbia, 71.
That was one of the big selling points that we brought up last week, was just how much more accurate he's been. Well, I mean, I was about to say against Big 12 opponents, but that's the only time he's come into the game. Bowman, of course, had some stats against HBU, but we ignored those and just looked at the Big 12 stats, and Bowman was at 59%.
That's not good.
And I was, you know, I have to be consistent. I was dogging Brock Purdy for being, I think he was 55% or something coming into the game against Tech, and I thought, gosh, that's just not that great.
I mean, and then Bowman's pass
is just sailing out of the side, you know, towards the sideline judge or somebody. So, not a good look, not a good look for our guy. But Columbia has, you know, he's caught a little bit of attention, not Heisman contention or anything like that,
not yet.
but one of the things I wanted to bring up is what I thought was hilarious, because this is how college football fandom works. Everybody was clamoring for QB2. Everybody was ready for Columbia. We were ready for Columbia. We were, you know, not dogging Bowman or anything. He's a great Red Raider, all that good stuff. But then the second the announcement is made, well, gosh, coach,
did you say too soon?
Yeah, just give him the playbook, man. Just give him the whole playbook too. Just
tell him what you're going to do. Yeah. Yeah. That was an interesting reaction. Like the news everybody wanted to hear, but still had a negative reaction when they heard it.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, the wise thing to do would be to just go ahead and announce it, because one, it'll shut us up.
It did.
You know, he won't be hearing the fans for
2 weeks.
Like an additional 10 days just going, gosh, well, if he, I tell you what, if he trots out that Bowman again, I'm going to, you know, this and that. And I saw all sorts of crap like that. So the fact that he squashed it and ended it was great. But then, of course, you're going to have a fraction of the, probably some of the same fans that are just thinking, well, shoot, did you just call Neil Brown and fax him the playbook? Well, why don't you just do that too?
Yeah,
anyway, I don't care.
I don't either. I don't think the games between Henry Columbia and Alan Bowman are significantly different enough that it makes that big of a difference. You know what I mean? I don't think there's that big of a difference in what they do or how they do it that's going to completely change what West Virginia does on defense. And we'll get to their defense. It's been pretty dang salty.
Yeah.
And I want to take this one more opportunity, beat a dead horse here. I did some research this week on, just some quick comparative stats, not Henry Bowman, Alan Bowman, Henry Columbia. You already mentioned the completion percentage, passing yards. Bowman has 451 to Columbia's 359. I'm trying to figure out where I want to go next. Okay, here, let's do this. I went through and looked at all of their drives and tallied up number of plays each one has played versus Power Five. So I didn't count any of Bowman's time versus Houston Baptist. So Bowman has been in on 122 plays and 614 yards of offense. This is, I'm also including the rushing totals because there's a significant difference in how effective the run game is, depending on who's behind center. And I did not expect to see this.
Spoiler alert. It's pretty big.
Spoiler alert. Columbia was in for 93 plays. So a difference of almost 30, 568 yards. So 30 fewer plays run and 50 fewer yards. So if you look at the yard per play average here, Bowman, when he's leading the offense, good for 5 yards per play. It's not bad. Columbia, 6.1. So when we talk about like the offense, when Columbia comes in, the offense looks different. It looks better, more efficient. I've got the stats to prove it, or to back that up at least. Because when we talked about, or at least I did, and we said, oh my gosh, when Duffy would come in, the offense would look different. It just felt like they were doing so much. It just felt so much better with Duffy. And you look at the stats, and it was almost the exact same game, regardless of who was in at quarterback. It's not the case. Bowman has led the offense on more points, but they all came against Texas. 56 points versus Texas. He put up 0 points versus Kansas State. To be fair, he was only in for 9 plays versus Kansas State and then 0 points versus Iowa State. Columbia's been good for 36 points. So the points per play still favor Bowman, but that's where the the comparative advantage ends. Bowman, as like I said, has thrown for 451 yards. Good for 5.6 yards per attempt. Columbia has thrown for 359 yards. He's got a full yard advantage on yards per attempt, 6.6 yards per attempt. Per attempt, that's not per completion, that's per attempt. That's going to be your lower number.
Yeah.
Now, I also teased out the rush offense. And it's mind-blowing to me. I don't even know how to fully attribute this besides it's not just Columbia's rushing as well. Like there's more difference in the rush offense than you can just say it's Columbia. It's them being in a better position. He's putting them in the right calls. And this is including Columbia coming in garbage time, essentially versus Iowa State and not putting up a lot of rushing numbers. Anyways, on the year, Bowman's been the quarterback on rushing plays for 42 plays and for that gained 142 yards. It's 3.4 yards per carry.
That is low.
It's not, I mean, it's, It's lower than you want it to be. It's not 2 yards or 1 yard. Columbia, though, 38 rushing plays, 230 yards, 6.1 yards per carry. That is nearly 3 yards difference on the success of a running play based on who the quarterback is.
You probably have a better explanation for this than me, but is it just as simple as, because the thing that I look at is something we've already talked about, are the completion percentages. The fact that Bowman's had trouble just finding or getting the ball to open receivers, are defenses kind of keying in on that and then just kind of stacking the box a little bit and stifling the run, or what do you think it is? Or do you think that Bowman's slow to get the ball out, or is he making some decisions at the line of scrimmage, or I mean, what do you think is attributing to almost double the rushing yards per carry based on the quarterback?
So I think some of it has to do with accuracy, which we pointed to earlier. And like, it's going to be like an extension. I'm going to have to reach a little bit. I think it's because when Columbia is throwing the ball, he's connecting more effectively and efficiently. He's got 15 percentage points better on completion percentage. When he does complete the ball, he's getting an extra yard per attempt. When he drops back to pass, he's getting another yard per attempt. You're in a better spot that when you do run the ball, it's not like second and 10.
Oh, that's yeah.
So
that's pretty simple. Yeah.
You're in a more thought. Of a balanced, where the defense isn't like just keyed in, they have to throw it here, or it's third and one, they're going to run it or whatever. Like it's fairly balanced. I think that has to do with just being efficient throwing the ball. And also Columbia being able to move his feet. I mean, he's rushed for 51 yards. So like the difference in yardage between the plays that Bowman's been on and the plays that Columbia's been on is almost 100 yards. So not all of it is Columbia. Cause I mean, Bowman has 21 rushing yards on the season versus Power Five. Columbia has 51. So it's a 30-yard difference, but it's almost three full yards per carry better.
Sure. Yeah.
The other thing I want to point out really quickly before we move on, before we really, really bury this bloody pulp of a dead horse, three and outs. The thing that we all complain about and just kills momentum. Bowman has been the quarterback when Texas Tech has gone three and out 7 times versus Power Five opponents this year.
And do you happen to know how many were against Iowa State? Was it 3 or 4? Sure felt like a lot.
It was at least 3. Columbia, 1.
He finds, who knows? We have to eat a huge plate of crow after this weekend. But that's the fun part about this. We're wrong.
I feel like we're setting ourselves up, and we'll talk about this when we get into the West Virginia preview, because the West Virginia defense may be the best defense you will all face all season, even considering you just played Iowa State. At least statistically speaking so far, West Virginia's defense is numbers-wise way impressive. This may kind of swing the momentum back, at least away from Columbia. We'll see how he performs this weekend. But yeah, man, I mean, it's hard to see how Bowman would have remained the quarterback when you look at all these numbers. So like I said, just being a dead horse here, I'm obviously all on board with trying Kenry Columbia. He may not be the long-term solution. I talked about that. I talked about it with Rob Bro this weekend. I said, hey, remember when Tommy Tuberville tried to start Stephen Sheffield the first game in 2010? It did not work out.
Yes, that's right.
Now, Sheffield was like, he was your saving grace in 2009. Like, he stepped up when Potts needed somebody to step up. But it didn't work out long term. Like, Sheffield was not the answer for... Anyways, maybe this helps Bowman kind of recenter, refocus. Maybe it helps Yost kind of calm things down, clear. I don't know. But I'm excited for the District of Columbia. I'm going to roll with that because I like it. This weekend against West Virginia. Before, though, let's not do our preview yet. We're jumping ahead of ourselves. We did get other roster updates. Donovan Smith, the true freshman quarterback out of Friendship, was, I guess, confirmed to be out for this season. He had surgery on his throwing shoulder. Be rehabbing, and we'll get that season back. Dalton Rigdon is expected to be available to play, assuming he clears the concussion protocol. He went down. Was that against Iowa State or Kansas State? I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure it was Iowa State.
I think it was Iowa. It was one of Columbia's first plays.
Yeah, it worked out pretty well. I mean, sorry, concussions
didn't work out well.
Yeah, that's not what I meant. The timing of the bye week was helpful in getting Rigdon back. So I'm pretty sure it was against Iowa State.
Yeah, Keyshawn Carter. We saw him come back in the game against Kansas State with a big elbow brace. Did not play in Ames against Iowa State. He may be available to play this weekend. Would certainly help out your inside receiver depth, because we look at the other guy there, McLean Mannix. He may be able to come back dealing with a back injury. So you've got three of your inside receivers that have been injured, have missed some time. Really, you're looking for Carter and Rigdon, but a two-man rotation there would really help. If not, maybe we see Xavier White kind of flex back out into that inside receiver spot and let Taj Brooks or Chidarius Townsend take over that second running back spot. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, this seems like there could be a lot of options there, and they may not necessarily be the first option for your inside receivers.
So I renamed this next segment the tragic number.
I noticed that.
It's not the magic number, it's the tragic number. And there's not really an update to give besides the new name, because we didn't play this weekend. Texas Tech is still 2-15 over its last 17 games. Only team worse than you is Kansas. And I don't even think it's worse. I think you're tied with them.
It's good company. It's fine.
Great company to be with. Your full calendar year without a win versus a Big 12 or Power 5 opponent is still on the table. Last time you had that win was November 9th of last year at West Virginia. You've got three games left within this calendar year to see if you can win one in the calendar year. The same West Virginia team, you host Oklahoma next weekend, then you go on the road to TCU on the 7th of November. Do you think we get a win out of one of those three games, Michael?
Not to get a little, you know, I do. I think okay. We do. And I'll let you know which one or ones.
Oh,
as we go along. I do have a quick Texas Tech secondary update. Oh, I'm no longer keeping up with total yards, because who cares? Everyone's playing weird number of games.
Because the Big Ten is back, baby.
Oh, they're coming back, man. Full force. Oh, man. I can't wait.
Can't wait.
77 teams have played now.
Which Texas jumped Tech up. It moved up one team. Like, what one team finally played? Because it was 76 last time.
I'm not sure, but Tech is 74th out of 77 with passing yards allowed per game. So still the same amount of passing yards allowed per game, obviously, because it was a bye week. 335 and a half. I'm including the half.
Half.
So it's hopefully going to get better. Maybe with larger sample sizes, it's going to get a little bit better. But right now, yeah, they're just about close to dead last. But we started this after the Houston Baptist game, where they gave up an ungodly amount of yards, and it's really hasn't been that bad since. So that one just really skewed everything. But I'll still keep this up just because it's interesting to track and hopefully it'll keep going the right direction.
You know what else is interesting to track, Michael? Movement in the AP Top 25.
Oh, so much movement this week.
Especially considering Big Ten teams that have not played. I don't know why. Like every week, it brings a little bit of enjoyment and disgust to see, look, Ohio State moved up again. They have not played, but they moved up in their rankings.
They did it, Spencer. I wish I could have written it down somewhere. But I think I said it, that Iowa State or Ohio State would be a top five team before they played a game. I swear I said that somewhere, and by God, they did it.
I mean, okay, to be honest,
congratulations.
To be fair, the number five team in the country last week, North Carolina, laid an egg.
Don't disgrace my Tar Heels now.
No, nice. but they dropped down to 14th. So there was a spot to move up. I can give them that. Ohio State moved into the top five from number six. Oklahoma State moved up to number six, even though they didn't play. But again, they had the spot ahead of them. A&M moved up four spots, number seven. Penn State, number eight. Our Cincinnati Bearcats, top 10 team in the country at number nine.
Do not believe it. I want to go back to A&M just for a minute because I'm really proud of them for being ranked number seven in the country for barely beating Vanderbilt and getting their teeth kicked in by Alabama. What an honor. Good job.
They also took care of business against Mississippi State, right? Because it was like a weird game. I turned it on. I was like, which team is which? Because they're both white and maroon.
Oh, yeah.
I was fun. I was like watching the game. I was like, who's got the ball?
Good game for them. And they did beat Florida. But I just, you know, we didn't have to talk about those last two. I just want to talk about the first two.
Let's see who else on this list. BYU, is criminally underrated. 5-0 at 12th. They are independent.
They are beating the tar out of people.
The only other 5-0 team ahead of them is Clemson. There are no two lost teams ahead of them. So there's that, but there's also a couple of one lost teams, Oregon and Wisconsin, back to back teams that have not played. SMU 16th, Iowa State 17, Michigan. Okay. But like the bottom of the 25 is where things get wild. You guys ready? Marshall comes in at number 22.
Yes.
North Carolina State. When was the last time they were ranked? 23. USC bumps up a spot to 24. Guys, my Chanticleers from the Fun Belt ranked number 25.
I saw someone else on Twitter propose that the Big 12 champion should have to play the Sun Belt champion. Yeah. This should just be how the season ends.
Others receiving votes, Oklahoma still not getting in the top 25. West Virginia, not in the top 25. Louisiana Lafayette is in there. Liberty, our man Hugh Freeze down there, coaching from his hospital bed at one point. Army, Arkansas, oh my gosh, Texas is getting one vote. That means one person voted them for 25th. Which it's okay to laugh at them because it's funny and we're not getting votes. We're not expected to be getting votes right now because we suck. We have our program.
I wanted to point out one thing.
Yes.
Speaking of Texas, Kirk Bowles, who covers the Longhorns, apparently he left off Ohio State out of the top five. And someone got on him on Twitter, big mad, like, why do you have an AP vote? Embarrassing not having Ohio State ranked top five, to which Kirk Bowles just quote tweeted and said, who have they beaten? And it's my favorite. Y'all know, y'all heard me rant and piss and moan basically about Ohio State being ranked so high. And then I say that in our pick'em on the Rob Bro College Tailgate Show, I'll probably take them to cover this weekend. But I may not. You know what? I probably won't. And it'll just be solely out of spite. I can't remember what the line was, but it was pretty hefty.
For who?
For Ohio State.
It's like 24. I'll look it up real quick.
Yeah. And so I thought, you know, I think I may not take him to cover. But anyway, thanks, Kirk Bowles. I think Kirk, first name basis, Mr. Bowles, he also had Kansas State in the top 10, which, hey, I'm not going to argue too much with that. Sure, they laid an egg in game one, but they've played some really good football the rest of the time. Who knows? Ohio's, who knows at this point of the year? It's always a crapshoot.
At the time that the picks were put together, Ohio State was a 27-point favorite at home versus Nebraska.
Ah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, may have to pick the old Big 12 foe, even though I don't have any conference loyalty. I don't care.
Yeah. Old conference loyalty. All right, let's look around the Big 12 last week. I guess get to some news that, like, running back Puka Williams has participated so far this season. And I'm not a Kansas fan. I don't keep up with him. I don't follow him. So I can't tell you why, but he came out, I think it was Monday. He said, I'm going to pack it in. I'm going to opt out the rest of the season. I did see there was something like he wanted to go home and be close to family. So that can be commendable. But yeah, like the one bright spot on that roster, 4 games in, was like, yeah, no, I'm done.
it's really good news for Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. So I have no issues with this. I mentioned this later in the notes, so we can delete it once we get to it. But he had a kickoff return against Virginia.
I saw this video this morning. I was like, sorry. I'll let you go.
It's your news. And, you know, Gus Johnson, who looks for any excuse to get animated in the booth.
Big 12. He breakfast. I'm pretty sure he said that.
Big Nooner here
against Texas. He's
on, like, the TV,
yells random things. It's hilarious. Also, I love Gus Johnson.
He's fine, but
except for things like this.
Well, yeah. So earlier in the game, I watched the highlights of the Kansas West Virginia game, and Letty Brown ran in. I mean, like the front door just opened for him, and I think he had like a 75 or 80 yard touchdown run from the line of scrimmage. And the whole time it was like, Letty Brown, baddest man in Morgantown. I mean, and I'm not exaggerating. It was that long because he waited to make sure that Letty Brown was going to actually outrun everybody before he finished his sentence. And sure, it was a big play, but it was over the second he broke the line of scrimmage. It was like, okay, this guy's gone, or someone's going to catch him at the 5. So Gus Johnson had that much gravitas and stuff. Of course, this was at the beginning of a game. But at the end of the game, down 38-10, Puka Williams catches the ball on a kickoff, goes from sideline to sideline. I think he kind of sidestepped and juked a couple of guys. I mean, ran it all the way back. And Gus Johnson just, it was like he was giving a eulogy.
Puka Williams. And
I think it was almost like, yeah, Puka Williams makes a cut.
He's free.
He's free. He's
behind the kick team and he will score. He sounded bored.
I know. I get it. It's 38-10, whatever. But come on. You're the guy that's like supposed to be the exciting announcer. And this is one of the most exciting plays in football, is a kickoff return by one of the best players in the conference. And it's just like he was announcing his, his child's finger painting and going through. And here we see the trees, the attempt at a son, and Puka Williams on a 91-yard kickoff return that means nothing. I mean, he might as well have just said that at the end.
I mean,
and that's the last time we'll see Puka Williams play Big 12 football.
I can give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. It's just like, he's big energy for all game, and this was not a close game at the end. So like, he just kind of drained.
Yeah, but I mean, I know.
But also, I have very similar complaints against like guys like Joe Buck. Like, okay, so Joe Buck has been like the longstanding commentator for the World Series. This is the biggest platform for Major League Baseball. And Joe Buck is like, Bellinger hits a deep ball, home run. Dude, it's baseball. It's the World freaking Series. There's only max seven of these games. He's like again, one of the, like the biggest stage, one of the most exciting plays. And he's like, and it's gone. Home run.
Well, he just lets us bask in the moment. I really don't have a big issue with Joe Buck. I kind of get why people do, but then I kind of don't, because I think it's almost turned into like a Nickelback situation where it's just cool to hate Joe Buck, even though you can't really say why. You at least have some reasons to criticize a little bit, but there's people, no, I just can't stand him.
I mean, it's why? Probably accentuated.
His face.
His stupid face.
Yeah, he's got a dumb face. Yeah, it's a good story.
I can understand leaving room for like some environment, excitement and hype, whatever, coming from the stadium. And that just may be like his delivery style. And like that's, it's always been that way. And in 2020, just, it's not the same. You can't expect somebody that's like set this way. It's like asking Chris Berman on the home run derby not to go back. It's like, that's just what he's going to do. So like it would make sense, like if he's doing that to leave room for the crowd, and it's just, there's just no crowd.
Yeah. I mean, you may be right. It's probably just amplified. It's probably always annoyed you, but it's annoying you even more this year, yes. Especially because it's your Dodgers.
My Dodgers. So game seven of the NLCS, I was watching the home broadcast, my man, Joe Davis. And I'm so taken away with it. He is like 32 years old. And he's a major sports broadcaster for Fox, does a lot of the football games, is the play-by-play guy for my Los Angeles Dodgers. And he's like a year older than I am, like just raking it up. But he's also really dang good. He did the Texas Tech OU game a few years ago. He's done the game. He did a Tech game versus TCU. He's great, whatever. When Cody Bellinger hit the home run to take the lead, like, yes, it's his team he's calling, right? It's like Brian Jensen calling the touchdown pass to the Crabtree, right? Like the excitement level is way up, but like, I could feel it, man. Joe Buck, he's just like, so when is this check clear so I can go do something else? I don't know, man. All right, whatever. That's enough of that. Okay, so this weekend, West Virginia, the football scheduling gods have decided 4:30 is a good time for a kickoff.
Yeah, why the hell not?
Next week, Halloween night game, hosting Oklahoma at 7:30 kickoff on the Big Fox. It will be the team's going to wearing all black jerseys. That's already been released. What I appreciate, and we're still a week out, so this may change next week, that the athletic department social media is not be like, it's a blackout. It's a blackout. Yes. We need you.
Just, yeah. Wells has just decided it's a night game. We're going to wear all black. And that's that.
And
it's so much better.
I'm okay with that. I'm good if you want to wear black, like all the time. Like it doesn't have to be this big tricked up thing. Like we wear black. Versus OU
in the Jones.
Yeah. It's just like at night we wear black. Cool. I know what to wear. In the day we wear red. Cool. I know what to wear. On the road we wear white. Cool. I know what, like, it's none of this weird stuff. And like, there could be a throwback uniform in there, whatever. That's great. The throwbacks we've seen this year, way good. But like, stop with like the themed blackouts and like, it's stupid. Okay. Anyways, Big 12 schedule for this weekend. Last weekend, you had one game because Oklahoma State Baylor got canceled because Baylor can't figure out how to run a football program still. This weekend, all 10 teams are playing. Battle for the Sunflower State, Kansas State, up first at 11. Competing broadcast there. Oklahoma in Fort Worth versus TCU. Baylor is going on the road to Austin, maybe, if they can figure out how to play, at 2:30. Iowa State in Stillwater to take on Oklahoma State. That game very well could determine Big 12 champion in week five of competition for the Big 12.
This is our world.
As the top two teams in the conference, I don't know if a two-loss team is going to win. And the loser would have to, like, if Iowa State loses this game, they'd have to hope for Oklahoma State to lose two games or vice versa. And then Texas Tech has your late game at 4:30, the senior special, blue light, yeah, blue hair special. West Virginia here in Lubbock, 4:30 on ESPN Dose.
Yeah, it's the Lou Ann platter here in Lubbock.
Okay, so before we do the preview, West Virginia preview, homecoming preview, there's two reasons for that. Guys, listen up. Manscaped has a new product just released, the Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Hair Trimmer. Take a look in the mirror and I get...
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Guarantee you'll see hair sticking out out of all those holes. It's time to keep your ear and nose hair looking as nice as your clean shaven anywhere else in your body. Let's just put it that way. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game. Now they've added a new piece to their product lineup, the Weed Whacker. Guys, you need to go check out manscaped.com. They've got the Weed Whacker, the Lawnmower 3.0. They've got the Testy Toner, the deodorant, the nail trimming kit, everything you could ever want, manscaped.com. But guys, check this out. If you go and enter code armchair, you will get 20% off and free shipping. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com when you use the code armchair. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds.
And as you guys know, the wait is finally over. There's a lot of fun upon us this week. Football is, of course, in full effect. I got to see two excellent football games Monday night. Well, maybe not excellent, but they were entertaining. Never had a Monday night game start at 4:30 or whatever it was.
That was a blast.
That was fun to have football on when I got home. So obviously football's blowing and going. Big Ten starting back. Major League playoffs. The World Series is in full swing. Even though you might not be at a game this year, you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to Bet Online today. Use promo code armchair to take advantages of all the great sign up bonuses. That's promo code armchair, all one word. Bet Online, your online sports book experts.
All right, really quickly, before we jump into our West Virginia preview, I know I keep saying this really quickly or before, whatever. So I've got the baseball game on in the background here, and I saw this commercial reminding me I needed to complain about something. Ford has lost their freaking mind. Have you seen the new body style on the Mustang?
No. How have I not seen this? No,
it
I haven't.
Looks like a freaking station wagon.
No, get out of here.
Look maybe it up.
Are they going for like a Mach 1 thing or something?
Mach
1?
It's a Mach E. It's electric. I think they're trying to target those Teslas. It looks freaking stupid.
No, does it? Oh, that is interesting.
Interesting. You're being kind.
It does. It just looks like a Tesla. It just straight up looks like a Tesla Model 3.
But like squat, it does not look like a Mustang at all. There's no Mustang in this except for the Mustang emblem.
Well, and because that's how I know that when they design cars like the Prius and the Teslas and stuff, they all kind of have a similar look. The insights. Yeah, it's almost hatchback-esque. It looks like a Subaru.
Well, like a five-door Civic. There, I said it.
I feel like they should call it something else. That this should be like a whatever their other cars are. Do they still make the Taurus? I don't know. I don't know what Ford makes.
Sorry, I saw that. I was like, I've been meaning to say this for a while now. Okay, West Virginia coming in for homecoming. Homecoming not only for our Red Raiders, but for our guys, Neil Brown and Jarrett Daigie.
Yes.
This will be.
Is it bittersweet?
Neil Brown's first trip back to Lubbock since he was the offensive coordinator under Tommy Tuberville, and Jarrett Daigie's first competitive trip into Lubbock. Because I'm sure if his family still lives here, he's been back here, but I can't tell you if his family lives here or not. I don't know.
You don't know the Daigies?
I know how to Daigie. I'm just kidding. No, I don't know the Daigies. Because he, while Seth Daigie was here as a starting quarterback, Jarrett Daigie was in high school, went to my Lubbock Cooper High School. He was a Lubbock Cooper Pirate. Went to high school here down the road from me as a Cooper Pirate. I'm just going to keep saying that till you respond.
I don't know. Yeah. Why? Okay. What do you want me to say?
Anyways, so they're coming back to Lubbock. And then obviously this weekend is marked as Texas Tech's homecoming game. So Michael, I want to ask you, do you have any homecoming stories? Do you ever go to homecoming? Do you ever make that a thing in Markle?
You know, high school?
I mean, or college. I mean, I wasn't being specific enough.
Well, high school, yeah, but I'm not going to bore anybody with high school homecoming stuff. But Tech, no. I think I tried to go to the – I think I went to the bonfire one year, but it was while I was still at South Plains, so I wasn't even at Tech yet. But my friend's girlfriend was, and so we all went. And, I made a career out of being a third wheel for at least a decade.
Wow.
But so, yeah, I went with them to the bonfire, and I think it was over by the kind of where the Lazy River is now. Does that sound right? Is that where it used to be?
I've been to one, and it's in that field basically. That's, you know, outside of the pool aquatic center, whatever you call it. And the Spirit Arena, and then that dorm complex. There's a big field there on the backside of Urbanovsky Park. So the one time I went, that's where it was. I've got some pictures, but I mean, it's a bonfire. I mean, you know what a bonfire looks like.
Yeah. And it photographs so well.
it's a cool thing to be at. And they're like, I should take a picture. And you're like, yeah,
just a blob. Okay. It just looks like a blob of orange and a couple of shadows. And I mean, obviously if you know what you're doing, taking photos, they could be really cool. But me, a guy with a phone, or back then a guy with probably a disposable camera, I'm sure it was
click.
I'm sure it was top notch. Yeah. Hang on. Gotta wait for the flash to charge.
Oh, that spoke to me.
So no, I don't have any great homecoming stories, but I do wish I was, because they always, not always, but they often did the kind of like the Meet the Red Raiders basketball, kind of an exhibition. There'd be a dunk contest or something, and that both the men's and women's basketball teams would come out. And I just kind of wish I'd have been around, because I think that was one of the years that Tubby Smith wrecked the motorcycle on the court.
Oh, I remember that. That was cool.
Was it one of the homecoming ceremonies? But no, I never was really that into the homecoming stuff. I got no big, I mean, I'm not a, I don't know, a killjoy. I mean, everybody do what you want, but I, for some reason, it just never really caught my attention while I was there.
Yes. I think the only time I ever did anything related to homecoming was my freshman year when I was living on campus. Cause once I was off campus, like I was not in a fraternity or a kind of social group that was heavily involved in the homecoming activities. So I just never really did anything besides, I mean, I'd go to like the tailgates with my roommate or whatever, but not like do the parade or anything like that. So West Virginia coming into town, they are 3-1 on the season, 2-1 in Big 12 play. Their lone blemish is against Oklahoma State. They racked up Eastern Kentucky 56-10. Then they went on the road and lost in Stillwater 13-27. Then beat the Baylor Bears in a double overtime fashion, 27-21. Before beating our Jayhawks last week.
That Baylor game was kind of ugly. Daggy had two interceptions, I believe, and I think he lost a fumble. It was tied 14-14 at the end of regulation, which is grossly low. But we saw firsthand how good Baylor's defense was last year. They may have been able to kind of capitalize on some of that again. But, you know, there was a lot during that game that I saw offensively for West Virginia that didn't, you know, didn't freak me out that much. I mean, obviously, you know, Letty Brown's a really good back. But Daigie, he made some bad decisions. I mean, he threw for two interceptions that game. He threw for another one against Kansas. He's only thrown three all year, and those were the three. He's 95 for 148, 64.2% completion. He's just over 1,000 yards, 1,042. He's averaging 7 yards per completion, which, I mean, we go up and talk about our guys above. Our Bowman and Columbia are both averaging over 9 yards per completion. Of course, that's against conference play only. But, you know, Daigie's done well, but
he's not going to be the reason.
Like, people are figuring him out a little bit.
Yeah, if West Virginia beats you this weekend, it's not because of Jared Daigie, probably. Letty Brown is going to be a handful. As much as we thought Deuce Vaughn for Kansas State was going to be a handful in the backfield, or Breece Hall, Letty Brown is a really good running back. But the other thing is they're just good enough on offense to complement their defense. And I think that's where I'd like to spend my portion, or at least the portion of the preview here. Michael found some more tragic numbers, disturbing stats, if you will. And so the West Virginia defense, they are number one in total defense.
Number one.
Yeah. Out of the 77 teams that have played, they are the
77. Yeah.
They are the best defense in terms of yards per game or yards per play. They give up 4 yards per play and only 240 yards a game. 240.
And really,
that's like what you get in a half.
Well, and if you just look at scoring alone, okay, Eastern Kentucky, sure, they beat them 56-10, but they only allowed 10 points against them. They still only allowed 27 against Oklahoma State, who's
the most points
possible Big 12 title contender.
Yeah, that's the most points that they've given up all season. Spoiler alert so far.
Yeah. Right. And they allowed only 14 in regulation against Baylor, 21 total, and then allowed only 17 against Kansas. And as
one
we
of those
discussed
was
at length,
yeah.
Yeah, they went down 10-0, and then they scored 38 in a row before allowing a kickoff return. So this defense is, sure, you could try to pick and choose, but they've played good competition. I mean, they're a legit defense. The Stills brothers, Dante and Darius, up front.
Did you see that the interception that one of them had?
Oh, it was incredible.
Like he dove from like 10 yards away.
Tipped pass?
Yeah, it was a tip pass. Yeah. It looked like the hands of a defensive back. Tipped it up. And then I can't remember which one. One of the Stills brothers reacted quickly, lunged towards the ball, and then dove. And was able to intercept it, catch the ball off the turf, basically.
Full on, parallel to the ground, flying burrito. He just... It was incredible, and it would have been incredible to see anyone make that play.
He is like the definition of a fat.
A defensive lineman make that play was just,
yeah.
It was a feat to watch. If you want to go watch a really cool highlight, go check that out. But yeah, so he got an interception. He got an interception because of that.
They're ninth in rush defense, giving up only 92 yards per game. This is against Kansas, who has. Like their one trick pony is Puka Williams. Oklahoma State, I mean, they've got good running backs. They've got good offensive line to block for them. Baylor, we'll see. But like in four games, 92 yards a game. Number three in pass defense. This is where it gets crazy. Having played Oklahoma State and Baylor, they average giving up less than 150 yards a game. So they're disruptive. They play with three safeties a lot. They do it a little differently than Iowa State does. They disrupt passes a lot more than Iowa State does. Iowa State wants you to complete short passes and they'll just swarm and tackle you. West Virginia, I think, is a little more, they'll try to bait you into a throw and then they'll go and compete for the ball. So they have a lot of passes defended. And they're going after turnovers.
The one thing, there was another stat I found that I didn't have time to put on there. Third down defense, fifth in the country at 0.26. So they are allowing a first down every
one
four.
Four.
Yeah. I mean, so they are top in the country, top five or 10 in a lot of these big categories. And, you know, Tony Fields is part of the reason for that. Alonzo Adai is a huge part of the reason for that. I mean, these are some really good guys who can tackle you, which is great for a defensive player. But like you said, they kind of get in passing lanes. I know Adai had a really good interception, and they're going to be tough. They're going to be tough for Tech to beat. And I think that this matchup, I wouldn't say plays well into Columbia's skill set, but I think it plays better into his skill set as opposed to Bowman's. I think you're going to have to be on offense. Tech's going to have to be creative, and Columbia may have to take some yards with his feet. West Virginia's offense is fine. They're pretty balanced. I think they're 25th or so on rushing offense. So that's about as high as it gets. What did I have on pass? Yeah, pass offense, they're 23rd. So they're really balanced, which is kind of what you would expect with a Neil Brown run offense. So if Tech's defense can hold their own, they've got a decent shot as long as they can get some points on the board.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so Letty Brown, 81 carries, 515 yards. This is on the season. Five touchdowns. So let's do some quick math here. Not prepared. What is that?
Of course you're prepared. You're always prepared.
Okay, goodness. He's good for 6.4 yards per carry.
Jeez. That's better than Tech's offense.
Unless it's Columbia.
That's true.
All right, so not... Having watched West Virginia play, I felt like with a change in offense and kind of seeing what I've seen, I had some confidence. And maybe I'm talking myself out of this here. Those defensive stats concern me. Texas Tech somehow opened up as a slight favorite. It settled in as West Virginia as a field goal favorite at this point, -3. Over under is at 55. So first team to 30 wins.
Yeah. If they both make it to 30.
Yeah. So, I mean, I see this game being like 28-24, 27-24, like right at that line. So give me West Virginia. I'll say 31-24.
Okay. And so that has them covering, because what we're seeing here is West Virginia -3. So for the first time since, I don't know, the second week of September, I'm picking the Red Raiders. I'm not just picking them to cover.
Picking them to win.
I'm picking them to win. And I had in my head the exact score that you said earlier, so I'm going to change it slightly.
Well, no, I mean, so it's fine. It's a different result.
I've got TTU 27, West Virginia 24. I think somehow Tech's going to be able to contain Daigie. They're probably not going to be able to contain Letty Brown that well, but hopefully that will just mean the clock's rolling, to be flat honest with you. You know, the less than 100 yards per game rush defense does worry me a little bit. But I do think that with Columbia on board, you've pointed out how much better Tech is able to rush the ball for probably a variety of reasons, whether it be passing, pass percentage, or it not being 3rd and 9.
6.1 yards per carry, man.
Yeah. So I'm kind of leaning on that. I think that I'm expecting a good day from Sir Roderick Thompson.
Right.
If he's...
Sir Roderick. Yeah.
Sir Roderick Thompson. Xavier White, if he's not out there catching passes as an inside receiver, because we're short on guys. But heck with it. Let's go for it. Texas Tech wins 27-24. Let's just see what happens.
For context, you all, Michael is 4-0 this season on his Texas Tech picks.
Yes, not against the spread or anything, but yeah, just straight up wins and losses. Yeah, I predicted that those 3 weeks after our first bye week were going to be a little rough.
But you've got 3 wins on your schedule from here on out. 3 more, I should say.
That's right. Now, these are all based on preseason win losses, and so I'm going to stick with what I thought 6 weeks ago. Just
okay, but like to be fair to you though, if you look at who you've got wins against, these are your 3 most likely opponents that you'd win against: West Virginia, TCU, and Kansas.
Yeah, so there's still some chances there, but TCU, I mean,
I
put up a lot of points against Iowa State.
No idea what TCU is. No,
I'm not sure who they are either.
No idea what Baylor is. TCU, I'm not sure if I know what Oklahoma is.
No, we definitely don't know. Oh, like I said, Oklahoma is basically Texas Tech, just with more stars right now. That's pretty much who they are. They're blowing fourth quarter leads. They're barely eking by games that they should win, or they're just losing them. So that, yeah, we don't know who anybody is really, aside from possibly Iowa State. I'm not even sure about Oklahoma State. I just don't think they've played enough games, and I'm just haven't been blown away by them yet.
In the words of Kirk Bowles, who have they beaten?
Right. Now, Kansas State's pretty salty. I think they're pretty good, even though Skylar Thompson's out.
I was going to say, I would have had them a little higher in my season projections. had they not lost Skylar Thompson.
I
think they're probably second or third best team in the league right now. I don't think that Will Howard is going to work out long term this season. Sorry. I don't think he's going to work out this season.
Yeah. Could, you know, who knows? Jury's out for next year.
For sure. All right, Michael, let's wrap this up. Let's go check out some of our questions.
Now, are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Who's in the box? Oh, what's in the box?
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Damn it! Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Right. We asked, you answered. Or you asked, we answered. We'll see. Scrolling back, I think Keith was the first one to send something in. Will the Red Raiders surpass West Virginia's current yards per game total? And again, defense,
it's 240.
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say yes too, because I have Tech winning. So they have to. I feel like they've got to get at least 250, 300 yards to do that.
I think Texas Tech will have greater than 300 yards of offense.
That's not crazy. I'm on board with that.
By the way, my Dodgers just won 8-3. 1-0.
I'm so happy for you, man.
Kyle Lank.
I mean, wow.
Yeah, I'm feeling all warm and fuzzy inside.
Beside yourself over there. I'm surprised we could still record.
Not necessarily a West Virginia specific question. It seems like each year Tech has a game where it all comes together and they look like a complete team. Do you think we still have that game ahead? If so, who do you think will peak against?
Okay. I don't want to. Let me go first, because.
Please.
I'm going to lose my thought.
Excuse me.
I don't want to say it's this week, because there's already a lot on Columbia's shoulders. So let's just let the guy play a full game first, or at least start one. I bet he'll have at least one really bad pick. I could just kind of see that happening. So I'm thinking that Tech could peak against TCU, to kind of go back to what we were talking about earlier. That may be the game where all of a sudden things are working. Of course, that's against a Gary Patterson defense.
How about
I'm just, what if I just Baylor? Took the easy way out and say Kansas? Oh, Baylor. That would be nice. I'd go for that. But what do you think? Obviously, I don't have an answer to this one. I thought I did.
I know some people in our group that predict or think that Texas Tech is going to beat Oklahoma. So that could be on
the
table.
They could score on that defense.
And beating Oklahoma, you're probably going to need everything to come together. Yes, they've struggled, but you've also struggled. They've got the talent. They've got more proven coaching. I think it would take a complete game effort to beat Oklahoma. So there's that. I think, though, I would lean more towards a Baylor or a TCU. And I already said Baylor, so I'll stick with that. I say on November 14th, you'll see a pretty complete game. Whoever's at quarterback, it's balanced and efficient. You get a good running game, and you win that game. Because I don't want to have a complete game and a loss.
Yeah, that would. If it's a complete game and then all of a sudden there's a kickoff return. I bet Gus Johnson would be excited about that one, though.
All right. Dan asks, what is the best beer of choice to consume with a 4:30 kickoff time on Saturday in late October?
All right. I'm going to go with the obvious choice. I'm sorry if this isn't a fun answer, but man, grab you an Oktoberfest. It's so good. It's the best seasonal beer.
It's the best season. Like this time of year between middle of October through first week of December, it's my favorite time of the year.
It's tough to beat, man. So that's mine. Just grab your favorite Oktoberfest, real ale makes a great one. Sam Adams is one of my favorites. I don't know if it's cool to like Sam Adams, but I sure do. And then, I'm completely blanking. Of course, St. Arnold's. You're a Houston guy. Grab you some St. Arnold's. That's what you should do. And consume St. Arnold's Oktoberfest. It'll be perfect.
Red Red Reset Man said, watch some of the West Virginia Kansas game. Wasn't impressed with West Virginia. I'm taking Tech, even though they like to break my heart. Michael,
I'm with you, my friend. I'm with you. Let's do it. Me and you. We're taking Tech. They're gonna win this weekend. It's gonna happen.
But here's the thing, man. Like, you're gonna talk me into this, and I'm gonna get invested. I'll watch the game. I'll get sucked in, and Tech will like blow a 10-point lead. Like, it'll be a 2-score swing. I'm like, you guys suck.
Well, it'll make for a really good instant reaction podcast.
Yeah.
Which, look for that.
Yeah, we'll be back
dropping soon after the end of the game, because the game will be over about 8:30, and we'll probably record 30 minutes or an hour later.
Yeah, so be on the lookout for that. Michael, let's wrap it up real quick with what we learned.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either.
All right, what did we learn?
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and do both. I've got two things. My wife and I went to the Hill Country this weekend. So just a quick recap on that. It was awesome. We went to several wineries. We went to Allstadt Brewery. Man, a guy that loves beer that can't say that word. That was a really great place to go. Had a wonderful Kolsch. Had an Oktoberfest, as I just talked about, which is divine. But the Alamo Springs Cafe was probably one of the highlights of the trip. You heard me mention it last week. They were crowned the best burger in Texas, I think in 2009, made the cover of Texas Monthly Magazine. We went there. We social distanced properly. We ate outside. And I ordered, they actually just have, you could get the Texas Monthly burger, which had grilled onions. It had avocado on it. It had a couple other things on it that the other burgers didn't. And just a perfectly cooked piece of beef, jalapeno cheddar bun. Great burger. Lives up to the hype. The second time we've been, last time was 7 years ago, but it was still just as good. So then my other thing I wanted to mention was, for those of you in Lubbock, if you've never been to the Back 40 Grill, today's Tuesday, so sorry. I should have told you this earlier, but every Tuesday they have a chicken fried steak special. And for those of you who didn't know, you can get your chicken fried steak at the Back 40 Grill with jalapeno cream gravy.
Ooh.
Now you can get it with regular cream gravy, which is great. I mean, big fan. Pepper cream or whatever you want to call it.
Big fan.
But jalapeno gravy, and this is, I'm not claiming to be someone who can take a lot of hot stuff or anything, but this is spicy, man. This is a spicy gravy. I've been to some places where it's like, this is green chili gravy or something. And you have it and you're just like, okay, there's green chilies in it somewhere.
That's because green chilies aren't spicy. Come on now.
Well, I know they're not, but you don't even, there's times where it's just like, you don't even notice.
It's because they're a trash ingredient. Get over the green chili, New Mexico.
You're so wrong on this. You're so wrong on this. Green chilies are awesome.
I've lived among them. Trust me, they are way overrated.
Well, come back to me though.
Okay, sorry.
To the jalapeno.
Yeah,
gravy.
I'm all on board for that.
We're pretty sure they roast them, because I had Allison try it too. We got it for takeout last week. And I wanted to talk about it on the podcast, but I went off on some other food tangent instead last week. So if you're in Lubbock, I think they actually have a location either in Canyon or Amarillo too. If you have access to a Back 40 Grill and you're in need of a chicken fried steak that's got some kick to it, get that jalapeno gravy. It's fantastic.
Back 40 Grill. So they've got one at 98th Street here in the LBK.
Yes, sir. And then I swear they've got a second location, but I can't remember where it is. I just know it's not in Lubbock. But yeah, Tuesday night, chicken fried steak night, steak special, jalapeno gravy, prepare to wipe the sweat off your brow. It'll kind of surprise you. It sneaks up on you, but it's so good.
Man, I wish we were in a spot where you could go grab lunch a little more regularly, because that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it would. It would be a perfect Tuesday lunch.
Instead of going
or to anytime, like anytime.
Cap Rock or something. Blasphemy, I know. Go somewhere else besides Cap Rock.
Try another place.
Yeah, so that'll do it this week for us on the 23 Personnel Podcast. Guys, get ready for the West Virginia game this weekend. Remember, 4:30. We will be back on the Instant Reaction Podcast pretty closely, pretty immediately following the game. Pre-game show, check us out 10 a.m. to noon on Talk 1340, 1340 a.m. here in Lubbock, 960 a.m. in San Angelo, Concho Valley, as the Rob Bro likes to point out. Catch us on the Talk 1340 mobile app for those that are not local. For Michael, I'm Spencer. We will catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast and sharing our fandom for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. You can connect with us on Twitter at 23personnel, Spencer at puntsuck, and Michael at Michael_LBK. And find even more great content over on stakingtheplains.com. Help us out by rating the show and leaving a review on iTunes, and subscribe on whatever channel you listen to podcasts. Remember to tell your friends about the show. The guys will be back next week with another episode. And until then, guns up and let the tortillas fly.